Welcome to the KMUD News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. Before our newscast, I'd like to introduce our new assistant director, Bridget Carstensen. Bridget grew up in the Midwest, but is a longtime resident of Humboldt County. She was previously a consultant in the local cannabis industry before obtaining a degree in English at Cal Poly Humboldt and opening her own wellness business. You'll hear Bridget's first story for KMUD later in the broadcast. In this episode, we have stories on military helicopters conducting cannabis enforcement, Fortuna chooses a new operator for the River Lodge, Food for People helping those impacted by MP-18, and unwanted Mendocino suspect Benjamin Miller. But first, some local alerts and updates. This is KMUD News. Starting off in Covelo, there were multiple vegetation fires near the 32,000 block of Mendocino Pass Road near Covelo last night, Tuesday, August 18th. Reports were of vehicles and timber burning, and structures in the area were initially reported as threatened. An evacuation order was issued at 9:23 p.m. by the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office, and Mendocino National Forest sent fire engines to assist. The fire grew to around 19 acres, but by 10:45 p.m., forward progress of the fire had been stopped. Another great job by our local firefighters. Next is an update on the Milepost 18 fire in Hoopa Valley. Progress has been made on the wildfire, also known as the MP-18 fire, in Hoopa. As of this broadcast recording on the afternoon of August 19th, the fire is now 40% contained at approximately 7,294 acres. Over 2,000 personnel are now assigned to the blaze, and firefighters have gotten the upper hand despite warm and dry conditions. Multiple evacuation warnings have been dropped for the interior Hoopa Valley, with mountainous zones still maintaining evacuation orders and warnings. You can find a current map of these zones on the Watch Duty app or at protect.genesis.com. Genesis is spelled G-E-N-A-S-Y-S. From the County of Trinity, the Trinity County Fair Association has announced that the community meeting scheduled for Thursday, August 20th at the Trinity County Fairgrounds in Hayfork has been postponed due to circumstances beyond the association's control. The meeting was planned to provide an open and transparent community conversation about the future and sustainability of the Trinity County Fair. The association remains committed to providing the community with an opportunity to learn more about the fair's current challenges, ask questions, share ideas, and participate in a discussion about a sustainable path forward. The community meeting will be rescheduled, and a new date and additional details will be announced as soon as they are available. From the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office. On August 19th, at approximately 1:42 a.m., Humboldt County Sheriff's deputies were dispatched to a panic alarm at the Shell gas station, located in the 1600 block of Central Avenue in McKinleyville. While deputies were responding to the scene, the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office of Emergency Communications Center advised that the convenience store had just been robbed and that the suspect had fled on foot southbound on Central Avenue. A store employee provided a description of the suspect. Additional deputies responded to the area, however, the suspect was not located. Deputies then obtained video surveillance from the business, which showed the suspect brandishing a firearm and taking an undisclosed amount of cash from the cashier before fleeing the store on foot. The suspect was described as wearing a two-tone black plaid jacket, a light-colored baseball cap with a black hooded sweatshirt, a red bandana covering his face, black sweatpants with a white logo on the right front hip, black multicolored Vans-style shoes, and tan leather gloves. Anyone with information regarding this robbery or the identity of the suspect is asked to contact the Humboldt County Sheriff at 707-445-7251. In Shelter Cove, There was a structure fire in Shelter Cove this morning, August 19th. Whale Gulch Fire and Cal Fire were dispatched to the 200 block of Kelly Road shortly after 11 a.m. By 11:30 a.m., the fire had been knocked down. One patient who reportedly suffered burns from the fire was taken by ambulance. Thank you to the fire crews involved. From the Sequoia Park Zoo. From now until the end of August, Sequoia Park Zoo is offering free admission to neighbors impacted by fires, smoke, and evacuations. Adults may show a valid ID with an address in one of the following zip codes to receive free entry for themselves and up to four children. For 95546, which is Hoopa. For 95573, Willow Creek. 95556, Orleans. 96093, Weaverville. 96041, Hay Fork. And 96046, Hiampom. Additionally, in appreciation for those serving the community and beyond, Sequoia Park Zoo is offering free admission to firefighters for the month of September as part of our annual Firefighter Appreciation Month. Visitors may present an active firefighter ID card and any additional applicable identification to receive free entry for themselves and a guest. The City of Eureka and Sequoia Park Zoo gratefully acknowledge the members of Humboldt Bay Fire, Cal Fire, and the countless agencies and departments who protect the people, homes, and wildlands in our region. From the Mendocino Sheriff's Office. On August 17th, at approximately 5 p.m., the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office was contacted by the Willits Police Department and notified of a missing person investigation they were conducting. It was reported that Jose, also known as Johnny Mandujano of Willits, had attended Reggae on the River and was overdue to return home. During the early morning hours of August 16th, Mandujano's vehicle had reportedly been involved in a traffic collision near milepost marker 83.5 of Northern Highway 101 near Leggett. During the late afternoon hours of August 17th, Willits police conducted a follow-up investigation at the tow yard where Mandujano's vehicle was stored and at the scene of the reported traffic collision on Highway 101. After exhausting investigative leads, the Willits Police Department contacted the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office to request assistance from a search and rescue team. During the morning of August 18th, the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue Unit conducted an incident briefing for their deployment and responded to the search area near Leggett. While en route to the location, Mendocino County Sheriff's deputies received information the Mandujano had been located and requested emergency medical assistance near milepost marker 83.4 of Northern Highway 101. Personnel from CAL FIRE responded to the scene and located Mandujano off the roadway at the bottom of an approximately 35-foot cliff. CAL FIRE personnel traversed the terrain to reach Mandujano and determined that he was deceased. An autopsy is being scheduled for the investigation, and the cause and manner of death have not been determined pending the post-mortem examination. And up next, our main stories. This is KMUD News. Humboldt County's Food for People is taking action to assist those impacted by the Milepost 18 fire, KMUD News reports. The Humboldt County organization Food for People is Humboldt County's community food bank, which focuses on eliminating hunger and also the well-being of the community through access to healthy and nutritious foods. With the Milepost 18 fire impacting communities in the Hoopa Valley and elsewhere, Food for People is providing emergency food distributions to communities impacted by the MP-18 fire situation. And the closure and now one-way controlled traffic reopening of State Highway 96 between Hoopa and Weechpec. KMUD News spoke with Carly Robbins, Executive Director of Food for People, to learn more about their efforts at a time of need for those impacted by MP-18.
That fire has taken up a large portion of the eastern county. It is impacting lots of households, not only those who have been put on evacuation or evacuation notice or being impacted by wildfire smoke, also those who have been kind of cut off by the prolonged closure of 96, which is thankfully starting to open up, back up, it sounds like. But all in all, it has not only limited folks' ability to get back and forth from the coast, but our own ability to get up to many of the places we regularly serve. So we decided to initiate our emergency response program to make sure we were reaching those areas and wanted to get word out to folks on where they could access services.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your emergency response program? I think folks, when they think of, you know, food banks or food distribution systems, they think of more kind of the general need. And in this case, you're acting because of a specific event.
Yeah, we, you know, it's one of the newer programs of Food for People. We started it kind of around 2020 in recognition of just how many natural disasters and emergencies our county can face. And during those times, food access can become an issue for any number of reasons and for really folks of any socioeconomic background, any living conditions. If, you know, you've lost all of your food because power went out for a prolonged period of time, to situations where you've been evacuated, need immediate food. So this program really tries to do a lot of planning during what we call the blue sky times, or, you know, the non-disaster times, so that we are prepared to either, you know, respond ourselves or provide food to our network of partners throughout the county so that they can provide those vital services to folks. So in this instance, wildfire, where smoke has impacted, road closures, all sorts of things. We want to be able to get out there and help residents who might be experiencing hardship due to all of the ongoing conditions.
What are some ways folks in Humboldt County or even outside of Humboldt County can help support this effort and also future efforts by your organization?
Yeah, anyone looking to get involved, I would say visit foodforpeople.org. Whether you are looking to give money, give food, or give your time as a volunteer, all are vital. You know, this time of year, we even have amazing folks dropping off food from their backyard gardens and orchards, which is amazing, whether they're dropping it off here to Food for People or to partners in areas like Hoopa, Willow Creek, and more. All of that is vital to what we're doing. So anyone interested in getting involved, I'd encourage to go to foodforpeople.org. We got all the information. Also, if you are looking for a food distribution for you or someone in your life who you think could use the extra assistance, foodforpeople.org is a great place to find out where to go. We have a Find Food Near You feature, so you can put in your location and it'll pop up all the distributions close to you, so you can figure out what works best for you based on transportation, schedule, and all sorts of conditions.
For communities who have been cut off by the closure and one-way reopening of Highway 96, Food for People will provide emergency food distributions on Thursday in Weechpec at the Tribal Office parking lot, which is located at 23001 California 96, from noon to 1 p.m. In Orleans, at the Karuk Senior Center parking lot at 459 Aesop Road, from 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. Distributions will continue while supplies last and will include a combination of fresh produce, perishable foods, and non-perishable items. To limit residents' exposure to poor air conditions, Thursday's distributions will be limited to approximately 1 hour. Residents seeking food assistance are encouraged to arrive as close to the distribution start time as possible. Supplies will be limited. Food for People's regular mobile produce pantry schedule will also serve this region, weather and fire conditions permitting, on the following dates. In Willow Creek, at the Dream Quest Thrift parking lot at 100 Country Club Drive on Wednesday, August 19th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. In Weechpec, at the Tribal Office parking lot at 23001 California 96 on Tuesday, August 25th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. In Orleans, at the Karuk Senior Center parking lot at 459 Aesop Road on Tuesday, August 25th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And in Hoopa, at the Hoopa Shopping Center parking lot at 12509 California 96 on Wednesday, August 26th from 10 a.m. to noon. All distributions are subject to cancellation or shortened hours depending on fire and air quality conditions. Food for People will notify residents if there is a cancellation or change in times. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. Fortuna's operation of the River Lodge Conference Center is impacting the city budget, and the Fortuna Chamber of Commerce has been chosen to take it over. Daniel Mintz reports.
The Fortuna Chamber of Commerce has been chosen to operate the River Lodge Conference Center, overcoming a low financial capability ranking with a strong showing of community support. At its August 17th meeting, the Fortuna City Council considered three proposals for the facility's operation and authorized city staff to negotiate a contract with the chamber. Two other proposals from the Fortuna Union High School District and CAL FIRE ranked above the chamber's from a financial standpoint, but the chamber is deemed to be the most suited to market the River Lodge. The three proposals before the council were reviewed by City Manager Amy Nilsson and the city's Finance and Parks and Recreation Directors. An additional financial review was done by an independent agency, the Redwood Region Economic Development Commission. The school district's proposal rose to the top, but during a public comment period, chamber leaders, members, and supporters formed a strong collective voice saying the chamber's work aligns with advancing the River Lodge. An unusually large audience showed support for the chamber with a show of raised hands, as requested by former Fortuna Mayor Sue Long.
I know you're looking at dollars, but you also are elected to carry out the desires of your community and your constituents. And as you can see from the people sitting behind me, not all of them want to get up here and talk, but if everybody supporting chamber could just raise your hands and raise them high to show the council who's here for this. I think that tells you pretty much everything you need to know.
Cody Hurst, the chamber's board chair, acknowledged that, quote, taking on the River Lodge would certainly change the way that the chamber operates, but said the organization has, quote, the right people, the right leadership, and the right community support to make this successful. Chamber CEO Felicia Thompson said aside from office space and a visitor center, the River Lodge will, quote, continue to operate as an event venue and conference center. County Supervisor Michelle Bushnell said she has confidence in the chamber's capabilities.
I think that CAL FIRE and the school, Fortuna High, are really good opportunities, but I do think that they will survive without having the River Lodge. I have worked with the chamber in Fortuna. It's one of the most active chambers in Humboldt County. I also have worked with Felicia a lot and know that when she puts her mind to something, she's very successful at it. Throughout my district, the River Lodge is used and utilized as a venue space. There aren't many venue spaces that are anywhere south of here and very few north of here that can accommodate the kinds of activities that happen. It does bring economics into your community. I understand your guys' decision, though, because your budget is not great and you need to make sure that you are viable for your city.
One of the reasons the chamber's proposal didn't get high ranking is due to what a written staff report describes as inadequate revenue capability. But Thompson said the chamber is, quote, currently in discussions with community investors to cover additional startup and operational costs. Council members favored the chamber's proposal, including Councilmember Tammy Trent.
We have three very good proposals. We have to look past the quick fix and plan for our future. Only one of the proposals wholly meets the intent of what the River Lodge was built for. I love the idea of having a visitor center right off the freeway. There is so much support to keep the River Lodge an event center. I've heard from so many people over the last few weeks and here tonight also. I believe the chamber can market it and help with our economic development. This will fill the hotels and help keep our local caterers working. Also our businesses that people visit with.
Mayor Mike Johnson noted the presence of business and civic leaders in the audience. He said, quote, "And I don't think they will go away. They will be there to help if the chamber needs assistance." The council's vote to authorize contract negotiations with the chamber was unanimous. Councilmember Kyle Connolly was absent. The chamber's lease payment plan ramps up over 4 years, with a $1 annual payment for the first 2 years, $24,000 the third year, and $36,000 by the fourth. The city is handing off operation of the River Lodge as part of a package of cost-cutting measures. For KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
An ongoing game of cat and mouse put Mendocino suspect Benjamin Miller behind bars, KMUD News reports.
In a now weeks-long game of cat and mouse, the Mendocino County Sheriff's Department has again arrested suspect Ben Miller. On July 31st, in response to several ongoing burglary investigations and a misdemeanor warrant issued for his arrest, a Mendocino County Sheriff's deputy contacted Ben Miller at his home in Redwood Valley, where he fled the scene. The vehicle was later located, and after a search warrant was executed, the sheriff's office gathered evidence that led them to a resident Miller was associated with on the morning of August 1st. Miller was arrested, and sheriff's deputies recovered multiple firearms, ammunition, and firearm accessories. He was booked on several allegations with an initial bond of $37,500. Despite the Mendocino County District Attorney's Office opposition and the probation department assessment, which had assigned him as high risk, Ben Miller was released from custody only a week later, to the dismay and surprise of the Mendocino County Sheriff's Department. This isn't the first time Ben Miller has raised heads. Last January, a Laytonville resident contacted authorities when Miller, unknown to the homeowner, showed up at his door requesting gas and money and mentioned firearms. Two Nixle alerts were issued before the Sheriff's Department lifted both only a few hours later. Although Miller was not found, Captain Quincy Cromer was quoted to have said, "We would still be up there searching if we thought there was a risk to the community." Now, over a year later, Mendocino County Sheriff Matt Kendall, who worked with a SWAT team to get Miller into custody and believed his history would keep him in custody, but it did not. Not only does this ruling exemplify ongoing issues with the judiciary system, it poses additional risks to the Mendocino County Sheriff's Department, especially when dealing with someone who is likely to be armed. Kendall openly criticized the system, which allowed Miller to be back on the streets, adding that allowing the release of these types of citizens also puts local residents in harm's way and puts them in positions of danger, especially when left to secure their own safety in the face of potential threats caused by Miller. All of this only for deputies to be sent searching for him again this Sunday following a reported court order violation and a report that he was seen carrying a rifle. On Sunday morning, Miller had shown up to his father's residence in Laytonville, where a restraining order against him had previously been issued. His father contacted authorities immediately, and when law enforcement arrived at the property, they were informed that he was armed and had fled the property on foot. A search ensued with Kendall warning that Miller could be armed and dangerous and urged residents not to approach him. Trails and forested areas surrounding the property were checked to no avail. For 2 days, there were several calls of sightings, drone searches, and even a run-in with a civilian who disarmed Miller before he fled. Finally, Tuesday night, an anonymous call from a citizen led the Mendocino County Sheriff's Department to a creek near Cato Reservation where Miller had been spotted. Officers were able to sneak up on Miller, and he is now back in custody. The Mendocino County Sheriff's Office issued an official thank you to the residents of Laytonville, who promptly reported sightings of Miller and provided information that assisted sheriff's deputies in locating and safely taking him into custody. Benjamin Miller is now facing several felony charges, including possession of a firearm, prohibited person in possession of ammunition, and committing a felony while out on own recognizance. Reporting for KMUD, I'm Bridget Carstensen.
There was more cannabis enforcement activity via helicopter in the Emerald Triangle this week, but this time it was via helicopters registered to the California National Guard, KMUD News reports. This week, cannabis enforcement via helicopter took place in Mendocino and Humboldt counties conducted by National Guard aircraft. A According to reporting by redheaded black belt and K-Mud News reporter Lisa Music, two military helicopters have taken part in recent operations, with call signs Jolly 96 and G72233, both belonging to the California National Guard. The continued expansion of recent cannabis enforcement efforts has alarmed many residents. And photos of military helicopter operations illustrated far lower passes of local properties than those conducted by the Northern California Coalition to Safeguard Communities funded helicopter. On Monday and Tuesday, the military-owned Jolly 96 helicopter flew over many areas of southern Humboldt and southern Trinity counties. The aircraft is a Sikorsky HH-60 Pavehawk and reportedly is far louder and causes greater disturbance than other local aircraft used for cannabis enforcement. In response to questions posed today by K-Mud News, Chief of Operations for the California Military Department's Office of Strategic Communications, Carl Trujillo, stated, quote, "As part of its full-time mission, our counter-drug task force routinely provides aerial support to local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies throughout California. Our aviation crews operate in support of the requesting law enforcement agency and in accordance with applicable federal, state, and military aviation requirements and regulations. Our role is to support these agencies, not lead their investigations or enforcement operations. Questions regarding the purpose and scope of any operation, areas of interest, or operational procedures are best directed to the supported agencies. The Humboldt County Sheriff's Office and California Department of Cannabis Control in this case," end quote. K-Mud News has reached out to the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, the NCCSC, and the Department of Cannabis Control to learn more. We'll let you know when we hear back. It's been a busy summer of cannabis enforcement by helicopter in the Emerald Triangle. Reporting for K-Mud, I'm April Lewis. That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Bianna Federico, Michael McCaskill, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. Also thanks to our reporter for this broadcast, Daniel Mintz, and our new assistant director, Bridget Karstensen. K-Mud News is now on streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at K-Mud News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Are there stories we're missing or that you're curious about? You can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Tsingkiyon, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilcut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.